Hey. Coach. Hey. Today is, I think the emphasis is on prayer. I mean, actually, the task of praying today, not only the preaching of prayer, the message of prayer, but the task of prayer. We want to pray also for Sandy's niece. Her name is Blair. They don't know where Blair is. Nobody, Blair is missing. We believe Blair's in grave danger. And we want to pray for a young woman named Blair. So just grab the hand of the person next to you. God, there's nothing hidden from you. Nothing is hidden from you. Everything is open and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give account. That's what your scripture says. And so, Lord, we pray that you would shine the light on Blair. Wherever she is in darkness, that you would shine the light. And that you would bring a rescuer to her aid. You be her rescuer and send an aid. Send forth a rescuer to help her out of darkness and to bring her into the light so that she might be found physically and spiritually as well. So God, we're praying for Blair. Let her feel your presence, but God, let there be a way out. If she's held captive, held against her will, let her find a way out. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. 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 What a terrible thing. Well, we're talking about prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, we're just going to go right into it today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, one verse we started last week. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And we began a series last week, a series of messages entitled Life Support. Communicating with God. And if you were here, you remember that we said that a couple of things about prayer. One, that prayer is not simply getting all of our wishes fulfilled. It's not just putting in our requests and getting more stuff. Prayer is not to be just reserved for times of crisis when things are falling apart. The prayer ought to be employed on other occasions besides just crisis. And certainly prayer isn't just this religious duty that we should perform for Jesus. Jesus had a lot to say about the empty prayers of religious people of his day. In fact, some of his very harsh and critical words were to the religious people of his day about the emptiness of their prayer life and the hypocrisy of their prayer life. And so prayer is not a lot of things. It's not checking in with someone. Sometimes we think that prayer is checking in with someone who's waiting to punish us, right? Who wants to do that? Who wants to pray if you think that the God is going to punish you? And prayer is not a job interview with a potential employer where you better get, all your ducks in a row and be on your best behavior, put your best foot forward, and then come to God. And of course, we said prayer's not magic. It's not saying the right words in the right order, otherwise you don't get what you pray about. And so we tried to address some of these fallacies, some of these misconceptions about prayer. And we said that prayer, the purpose of prayer is to gain Christ. or to put it another way, to help us gain a better relationship with Jesus. That's some of the purpose of prayer. And we talked about how talking or communicating with God opens the door of your heart to Jesus that he might powerfully work in your life. And so that would be a great prayer for you to begin to pray on a daily basis. God, I open the door of my heart to you that you might work in it, that you might work in my life. There's attitudes, there's things in my life that I need changed. I haven't been able to change them. I need your power to change those things in my life. And as Christians, we pray to have the character of Jesus formed in our souls. You remember that if you were here? To receive the counsel and the plans of Jesus for our lives, because how many know it's true that often our thoughts and our plans just crash and burn, they fail us. We have certain thoughts about how things should go, certain plans that we contrive in our minds, and they just don't work, do they? And our words and our responses to people make things worse sometimes. You don't have to raise your hand about that one. The choices that we think are good just aren't all that good, are they? And so we pray to get the counsel and the plan of Christ for our lives. That's why we pray. That's the purpose of prayer. And then finally, we pray to get the composure of Jesus in our lives. Because how many know you don't maintain your composure all the time? Unless there's somebody who could raise their hand, or lie and raise their hand, I should say. But we lose our composure, and we can actually, when we pray, as we pray, we can actually receive divine peace. How many have ever received divine peace as you prayed about a situation or a circumstance in your life? How many of you have actually received the peace of God when you really, by all natural means, should not have been at peace? And you've felt the peace, experienced, enjoyed, lived in the peace of God, right? Amen. And so we can experience that peace as we pray. The truth is this morning that most Christians, myself included, we're stuck in praying just one or two types of prayers. Some are stuck praying prayers that they prayed and memorized as children. Yeah, here I lay me down to sleep. I don't even know how that goes. Or maybe you were raised Catholic and you're used to praying three Our Fathers or Hail Mary, or I don't know, yeah? But maybe, the extent of your prayers is just bedtime, simple bedtime prayers or praying a mealtime blessing. That's the extent. Those are your go-to prayers. God bless me. God bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? But if the Christian faith is a journey, follow me. If the Christian faith is a journey of growth and maturity, then we also should be growing more versatile in the types of prayers that we pray. True? And if you look at the life of Jesus, you'll see that he was extremely versatile when he prayed. Sometimes he prayed privately, both in the late hours of the night and also in the early hours of the morning. If you look in the Gospels, he prayed, he poured out his soul to his heavenly Father, sharing with him all of his concerns that he had. We've seen Jesus, he prayed publicly in front of crowds, but Jesus also prayed for individuals. And when he prayed for individuals, it was multifaceted. Sometimes he touched people as he prayed for them. Sometimes he prayed without a touch, as in the case of Lazarus. He just said, Lazarus, he was a distance from, I wouldn't want to go in that grave, would you? So he stood, he just says, Lazarus, come out. Sometimes his prayers were very brief. He would just say, stand up, rise, see. Just very brief prayers. And sometimes that's the really only prayer we can offer and utter to God is, God, help me. I need you. And so those simple prayers God answers, you know, God responds to. And many times we see Jesus quoting the Psalms when he prayed. And so Jesus was multifaceted. He was versatile in the types of prayers that he prayed. And this morning, I want to encourage all of us to expand the ways that we communicate with God. And I want to share just a few ways in which we can expand and grow in this thing called prayer. And so first of all, we can pray all-encompassing prayers. What does that mean? Well, an all-encompassing prayer is a prayer that touches all of our existence, every area of our lives. And Jesus taught us to pray these all-encompassing prayers when he taught the disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. Especially the last three petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Most of you know the Lord's Prayer, right? But verse 11, chapter 6 of Matthew, he says, give us today what? Our daily, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. From the evil one. And so these three petitions cover all of our lives, if you think about it. Our daily bread speaks to us about the needs of our body and our daily life. Forgive us speaks to us about the needs of our souls, but also our emotional states. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one speaks to us about our spiritual needs in this world and those spiritual battles that we face in our lifetime. How many have had spiritual battles? How many of us face spiritual battles? Yeah. And so these prayers are all-encompassing prayers. And if you think about it, the Lord's Prayer covers the present, the past, and the future of our lives. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're communicating to God, God, help me in this present moment, right? And you know, so many people have a problem making any type of personal requests to God. I've met people like this. And they hold this belief that he doesn't care about day-to-day matters, that God doesn't really care about that. He's concerned only with spiritual things, not what's going on in my life and my daily needs. And this type of thinking has hung around the Christian church for centuries, almost from its inception. And it's called Gnostic dualism, fancy word. And the belief of this this particular thought is that only the spiritual matters. The physical is not important. Only the spiritual matters. And it's this false teaching that's been slipped in to the church, and many Christians, you know, think in this way, you know, I don't want to concern God with my stuff. I've heard this, these kinds of things. I don't want to concern God with my stuff. He's got more important, bigger things to deal with, spiritual things, heavy-duty things, right? He doesn't care about me, which is not true. You know, we translate this to the activity of prayer, and there are some who say, you know, if you're going to pray to God, pray about spiritual matters. Pray about revival. Pray about spiritual gifts. Pray about the evangelization of the world, right? Don't pray about your physical needs. Don't pray about this ordinary stuff of life. But Jesus tells us otherwise. Jesus, he pushes back with that. He says, he tells us to pray for our daily bread. Which, of course, he meant food and water and shelter. But it wouldn't be a stretch to include in our daily bread health. Right? So we should pray about our sickness, our illnesses, our diseases. God, I need some daily bread here. I need some healing. I need some health. If you want to have a baby, pray for a baby. We're not praying for a baby, but if you want to pray for a baby, go for it. We're done with that. Grandbabies, that's the way to go, I think. But make that your daily bread. If you want to get married, pray for a spouse. If you really want that promotion, pray for the promotion. If you really need a better, more reliable car, pray for some daily bread. God, I need a reliable car to get me to work. If you really need a new hot water heater, pray for some daily bread. Pray for the hot water heater. And Jesus tells us that God is not only concerned with high and lofty things, but the little things of life. And you can pray for them. Amen? So this prayer allows us to pray in the present. It addresses our present. Give us this day our daily bread. And then if you're like me, your thoughts eventually turn to your past, right? Past failures, past problems, past relationships that you bungled, you screwed up, and you feel remorse and sadness over those things in your life. Things that you said, things that you did that you feel about. Anybody ever go there? How many try not to go there? Yeah, we try not to go there, but sometimes we end up going there in our past. And Jesus understood this, and he invites you and me to lift up this prayer: forgive me of my debts, of which probably are many, as I forgive my debtors, those who have sinned against me. In other words, this all-encompassing prayer is, God, cleanse me from my past. Cleanse me from my past. This is a prayer that we can employ, we should incorporate in our prayer life. God, cleanse me from my past. You all have one. I have one. Every one of us has a past. Huh? And we have things in our life that have been just utter failures. And hurt the heart of God, offended the heart of God. And then thirdly, each of us have problems that await us in the future. I hate to be a wet blanket, but each of us have problems that are ahead of us. And there are traps designed by the enemy, our spiritual enemy, to trip us up. Allurements devised by Satan to lead you away from faith and to lead you away from family, to lead you away from your spouse if you're married. So Jesus teaches us to pray this prayer often: Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one, because there are so many temptations out there and traps that are planted and set for me in my future. Lead me as I walk through life, as I go get up tomorrow morning, as I go throughout my week. There might be a trap for you. There might be an allurement. There might be something that the enemy is planning to move you, take you away from your relationship with God, to get you a few steps away from your relationship with God. And this is a prayer that these are prayers that we can pray every day, amen? All-encompassing prayers. And so it's perfectly okay. A lot of people say, well, the Lord's Prayer, it's too rote, Jesus never meant us to pray, just recite that prayer over and over and over. Well, whatever. Let's pray it. If Jesus taught it, why not pray it? That's what I say. If he taught it, let's pray it. And so we can pray these all-encompassing prayers, but there's another type of prayer that I want to talk about today that can stretch, will stretch you, and if you include this in your Christian life, we should pray at set times. To maintain and enhance our spiritual life, we need to have set times of prayer on a daily basis. Jesus, in Matthew 14, verse 23, it says that after he dismissed the crowds, he went up, and the disciples, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And Jesus had a habit of praying at set times. And I figure whatever Jesus demonstrates, we should emulate and follow. Good idea? Yeah. Now, for some reason, when the suggestion of having a set time to pray comes up, we think it's unreasonable. We think there's no way on earth that we could have a set time where we pray. A time every day, some time that we set every day to pray. We just think, oh my gosh, I can't do that. But we all have routines, don't we? Yeah, everybody has routines. We have a routine before we go to bed. We have a routine when we get up. We have a routine of eating at set times. You brush your teeth at set times. You spend time with your kids at set times. You set date nights with your spouse at set times of set nights, right? We have routines. There are things that we have set in concrete in our lives. We would never move away from those routines, or the world would fall apart. So I say it's well within our reach to set a routine of prayer, to set a rhythm of praying at a set time every day. The prophet Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Now, I'm not suggesting that you pray 3 times a day. I'm just saying, just for examples in the scriptures, in the Bible, David said, 7 times a day, God, I pray to you. David said, King David, 7 times a day, I will praise you and I will pray to you. Now, it might only be 10 minutes. But that's not the point. The point is that you set it. See, only good things will happen in our relationship with God when you say to the Lord, I set this time aside to you, God, every day. And this time belongs to you. And I'm not going to intrude on it by going on Facebook. Now I'm getting personal, right? I know all you Facebookers out there. I know who you are. I'm not going to intrude on this time by filling the time with TV. I'm not going to intrude on my time with you with work. I set this time aside for you, God. You can't go wrong by doing that. Only good things will happen as you do that. And so we'll do much better in all the other areas of our lives if we take time to pray in set times. And I would just encourage you to do it if you've not ever done it, or if you've done it and you've gotten away from it, and you try it, and you try it. Well, try it again. Just try it again and work some of that type of praying into your relationship with God. You with me? Everybody with me? All right. Now, let me just say this. When we want to meet with God in the same way at set times, we want to do that like we would keep an appointment with a friend. We would never say to a friend, I'll meet you at Haps at 6, and then say to them the next day, sorry, I didn't show, I just got busy. I was reading a newspaper, time just got away from me. I decided to work on some things around the house instead. Sorry about that, right? Or I decided to run some errands, and I saw you sitting there as I drove by. We would never say that to a friend. I hope not. We're not very good friends. If we may not have that friend very long if we do things like that. We would never dream of doing that. And so, for our own soul's sake, we ought to set an appointment with God and keep our appointments as we would a friend. Amen? Now, there's another type of prayer that we should grow into, and I'll just call these doing life prayers. Just doing life. Everybody's doing life, and Nehemiah comes to mind when we talk about these kinds of prayers. Nehemiah was the governor of Israel back in the 5th century, he was held in captivity by a Persian king, and he became the cupbearer and an advisor to the Persian king. You might remember reading about this. But so here he was in captivity, Nehemiah, but his heart was always in Jerusalem. And he wanted to see his people, Israel, restored to their own land and the city of Jerusalem rebuilt because it was demolished. So for months, at set times, might I add, okay, he prayed that this Persian king's heart would be moved to help him with his plan to rebuild Jerusalem. And his prayer was, God, just cause this person to show me favor. Now, in our lives, all the time in our lives, there are people that we really need us to show us favor, don't we? There are people in authority, people with certain positions, you know, responsibilities, and we need favor from them, right? And so this is a good prayer. God, cause this person to show me favor. How many have ever prayed that prayer? God, I need favor in this situation. I need this person to have some favor towards me. Maybe I'm in the running for a new job. I'd like to have some favor, God, in this situation. So Nehemiah, he's praying after months and months, and then here's what we read in chapter 2. Let me listen to what the account of Nehemiah in chapter 2 in the month of Nisan. Wow. Automobiles, right, back then, in 5th century. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine, I gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." Nehemiah says, "I was very much afraid." You ever been afraid? "But I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' And the king said to me, 'What is it you want?'" And Nehemiah says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah, in Judah, where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it.'" Now, between the time the king asked Nehemiah, "What do you want?" and the time Nehemiah answered, he says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven." It's not like Nehemiah said, "King, hold on that question. Just a minute. I got to go over here and I get in my prayer closet and I've got to pray. And then I'll come right back to you." Right? No. No. What Nehemiah did was he silently prayed in his heart to God as he's having a conversation with the king. We can do a lot of things, can't we, at one time? Right? And men can too. Right? Just saying. But he shot up this arrow prayer silently in the moment. And these arrow prayers are prayers that we can easily include in our lives. Right? When you're on your way to an important meeting at work, shoot up a prayer silently. When you're in the middle of a conflict with another person and you're in disagreement with that person, you can be praying at the same time, Lord, guard my words. Set a guard at the door of my mouth, because I could easily say something I would regret and destroy this relationship. And so, God, I'm shooting up a prayer to you right now in the moment. You with me? When you have an important decision to make during the day, Lord, give me wisdom to make the right one. And we can shoot these kinds of prayer arrow prayers, communicating a lot about us. And let me tell you what they communicate. They show that we don't want to just rely on our own wisdom. Are you with me? We don't just want to rely on the counsel that we're receiving from the people in our lives, other people in our lives. These brief prayers acknowledge our constant dependence on God. And so we ought to be throwing up these, I don't know about you, because I'm not confident about everything all the time, are you? And so, but these prayers, we ought to be throwing up to God all the time to give us confidence, but also to acknowledge, God, I need you. And I'm acknowledging I am dependent upon you in this situation, at this time in my life, and I need you, or I will screw it up. Right? And so it's just arrow prayer, whatever you want to call them, arrow prayers, short prayers, just doing life prayer, praying that we can be engaged in all the time. And you might want to just consider expanding your prayer life in this way if you've not done this before. Amen? Finally, if we're thinking about expanding our prayer life, we don't have to go too far. The Bible is full of prayers that believers prayed. The New Testament is chocked full of prayers leaders, Christian leaders, and people prayed. And just praying the prayers that we find in the Scriptures is a way to expand our prayer life. For example, we could get a lot of mileage alone out of the Apostle Paul's prayers. A lot of mileage just from what Paul prayed in his letters to churches in the New Testament. We prayed one today during communion, a prayer of Paul. Ephesians 1, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What would happen if you personalized that prayer? I pray that out of your glorious riches, Lord, you might strengthen me with power through your spirit in my inner being, so that Jesus might dwell in my heart through faith. Wow. What a prayer. What a prayer to pray and to offer to God. So, just to finish up today, if your heart is broken, if you're missing a loved one, maybe you've had some failure in school if you're in school, maybe your marriage is struggling, or there's some grave disappointment in your life, go to the Scriptures. Go to the Psalms. The Psalms are a great resource when you're just not knowing how to pray in your pain, in your sorrow, and in your disappointments that you face in your life. Jesus prayed the Psalms, as I said. Amen? God's people throughout the ages prayed and sang the Psalms. The Psalms were their songbooks, their hymn books. That's all they prayed and sang was the Psalms. So when you pray the Psalms, you're praying along with Jesus. And you're praying along with Christians through the ages who understand how you feel. And so when you pray the Psalms, you're not alone. You can know that you're not alone when you pray the Psalms. Here's the simple prayer, Psalm 13. I'll close with this. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen. There are so many ways that we can communicate with God. Amen. Let's pray. I pray, God, that you would expand our repertoire of prayers. That you would expand the ways in which we communicate with you. God, if we think of prayer as the vehicle, the destination is our relationship with you. Praying gets us to that place of deeper relationship and intimacy with you, God. We all have a desire to want to be closer to you. Prayer is the way, a way that we can get there. Forgive us for limiting the way in which we pray, for being caught in routines that limit us, God. And so, Lord, I just pray that for many today that they would just grab one or two of these ways to pray and they would begin to put them in place in their lives. And they would feel their hearts soar because of it and rise to a new place in terms of closeness with God. Most of all today, we are so awestruck with the truth that we can even approach you. That you've opened the way that we can approach you through your Son, Jesus Christ. That you opened the way to heaven, opened the way to the throne. And we have free and unlimited access to you because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And we thank you, Father, that you are listening. We thank you, Jesus, that you are listening and that you are also praying for us, interceding on our behalf. just before we finish, I just want to do this, just where you're sitting, with your eyes closed. Let's put this into practice. Shoot up an arrow prayer. Shoot up a prayer, something that you're concerned about, or maybe just a word of thanks. You just want to thank God. Just whatever it is, shoot up that prayer right now. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Go and communicate with God. If you've got a need of some kind, we'll pray with you up here and see what God can do in your life. Be blessed.